Four out of five porn stars recommend Jimmy Doan.
This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show, and you're listening to part two of our July 23rd podcast.
I think it's cool.
I guess we can do light notes if you want.
Well, there's a couple other legal things I want to talk about here, and
okay.
The ways that the government has taken your rights and changed the Constitution and basically ignored some of the legalities. Here locally, a mom in Longwood is going back to prison to serve out the remainder of her 15-year sentence because she was driving fast in her car, wrecked the car. Her 13-year-old child died. Another child, about 13, died. And some other kid got injured pretty bad, who he's apparently recovered fairly well from. And so because...
it's nothing a lawsuit won't cure.
Exactly, and that's what they thought. And so they took her to court, charged her with manslaughter, and she's getting 15 years.
Mm.
So...
And then you said she's going back to jail.
Well, she's going back because what happened is after a year in prison, she appealed, and they released her pending the result of her appeal.
Okay.
The appeal was denied.
Denied.
And so she's going back to prison. But my point is that there's no intent to commit this manslaughter.
No, right.
You can argue till
her own child died.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you offered her the choice of 15 years or having her kid back, what do you think she'd take? You know, I mean, she'd take the 15 years in a second to get her kid back.
Right.
So there's no deterrence here at all.
Right.
There's no reform here. She's not being changed into somebody who's going to drive better because of this 15 years.
Yeah.
You're not preventing anybody from driving radically because of the 15 years. It's just adding insult to injury and more injury to...
Well, this, again, this to me is the devil's idle hands of the devil's workshop. I mean, some people got too much time on their hands. And, of course, as we've talked about before, prosecutors especially seem to have some... They seem to be a breed apart. I mean, once they get it in their mind that somebody's guilty, there's nothing...
Well, they don't even get it in their mind that the person is guilty. Let me tell you how it works. They imagine that...
I'm
not kidding. They imagine that that somebody in a jury somewhere might think that this person is guilty. And that's good enough for them.
Yeah.
And they were talking about...
Well, it's like that show, you see a Law & Order SUV, any of them really, but the prosecutors in there, they're ready to hang anybody on anything that they can possibly, if you just give me this, I'll do it, you know, I'll go to court.
This is Law & Order Suburban Utility Vehicle,
yes,
SUV.
Exactly.
I think it might be SVU.
SVU, whatever.
Whatever, close enough.
Something, Suicidal Victims Unit, whatever it
goes. That's right.
It's something, Special Victims Unit thing.
Sex victim, let's face it. You can call it special all you want. This is what it reminds me of, they're talking about special education. I got a newsflash for you. We're talking about people that ain't got it upstairs, you know what I mean? We're talking about dummy.
We were just talking about that federal child sex law. They were saying, well, it's going to depend on how the prosecutors will interpret this. I can tell you how the prosecutors are going to interpret it. The harshest way.
Right.
If there's any chance that they could get a conviction, most likely they're going to bring the charges.
You notice, of course, that it is always the prosecutors, it seems to me, that are the ones that run for governors. That is to say, you never find the public defenders running for governor. You know,
no.
It's always the prosecutors. They make a name for themselves with the big case.
Right.
I mean, you look at Janet Reno, who is just, God, can you imagine? I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me that alien woman, you know, which when you realize how she made her bones by absolutely lying, you know, and convicting people who were totally innocent, and they all got overthrown. Then she goes in and gets, because she's a, you know, 6'9" woman.
Who is this again?
Janet Reno.
Reno, right? I thought the guy was
Lino. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. No, but it's, but then, no, but I do think it's, I wonder, is there some kind of dispute between Nevada and Texas because Reno wanted to take out Waco? Where the crickets? Okay. Anyway, the deal is, crickets alive. Okay.
Yeah.
No, the fact is that, you know, she was responsible pretty much for killing 82 kids or whatever. I take direct responsibility for the killing of the kids at Waco, you know, the Koresh thing. But I mean, she did nothing good. Nothing in her... Nothing. And yet she's
Alien
a prosecutor.
Gonzalez.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I realize that they...
The SWAT team.
Think about it. They have that famous picture, of course, which was... Let's face it. It's a two-dimensional picture, and we understand that the gun wasn't...
Could have been a firefight on the streets very easily from where he was taken in Miami. I used to live down there. They took him from the middle of Little Havana.
Yeah.
Anybody could have come out shooting at that point, and then it would have been just a bloody slaughter of Elian's family and everybody else.
including Elian.
That's right.
And yet that was all okay because it was done in the name of justice. They're doing it now. The nurses in New Orleans have finally been charged.
I saw that one. Yes. What was that? Two or three nurses. Now they were 90-year-old people that were apparently OD'd on something, or what?
Well, they don't know. That's the whole point. Is that
they're going to charge them?
Exactly. They found analgesics. They found sedatives in these people's systems.
Right.
And the people were dead.
Right.
And so they're going to assume, or they're going to allow the grand jury and then the jury to assume. And of course they're going to make the case for it that these nurses euthanized the people, that they killed the people in order to save them the horribleness of the hurricane or whatever it was. Yeah, and here it is.
Good enough for me.
They will not find, the intent will not be there for these nurses, but a jury could infer it, and so you never know what's going to happen. These people are certainly devastate their lives, the nurses.
Well, this is the same thing, you know, again, we just talked about life devastation, the lady that, you know, had her kid, you know, she had an accident, her kid's dead. I mean, to me, punishment enough, hello, yeah, done.
That's
right.
I she'd probably never drive again just for that.
I would think. You know, you've got to believe she'd be spending a lot of money on therapy. Of course, how much therapy is she going to get in 15 years in jail?
She'll get a few beatings.
Yeah, that's right.
She'll get a few beatings.
Talking about the same thing, can I move on just for a second to another thing?
Talking about CO2.
Yeah, I was going to mention, go ahead.
I was going to talk about the over-response. In upstate New York, this is an article from the New York Times on July 15th, which is about a week ago now. There was this fella, Ralph Phillips, 43-year-old car thief and burglar. Okay, he's served his time or whatever. He's on parole, and he was on parole. He was serving 90 days for a parole violation. For some reason, day 86, he takes off. He escapes. He was in some kind of minimum thing. Well, they've had this huge manhunt out for this guy. They have spent tens of thousands of dollars. Apparently, at some point in time, a state trooper was injured with a bullet, and they have tacked him. They said he did it. Now, I don't know. You know, of course, they can't find him. He's still on the lam. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it that I like about this is on June 25th, this is like a couple days later after he got away, 10 days later, during a traffic stop in Sheridan, a police officer shot and killed a 25-year-old man during a scuffle over the man's all-terrain vehicle. In other words, they had a stop to see if they can find this guy, roadblock. Exactly. And so they
stopped him.
They have an arrest reward for this guy, $50,000. I mean, what gets me is this reminds me a little bit of the...
Does the cop get the money or...
No, it's whoever turns him in, I guess. There's a couple things that come to mind. One is the proportional response thing. You know, they talk about this as the Israel-Lebanon thing. You know, the guy is, the Hezbollah lobs over, you know, 20, 30, 40 rockets or whatever, and Israel goes there with practically nukes them, everything short of a nuke. And they're saying, well, you know, what about this? And then they talk about collateral damage. Well, here's this guy that gets shot as collateral damage. Oh, shucks. And you know, the cop's not going to be charged with anything. Here's the guy who, a scuffle over there, you know. I mean, he was stopped because they were looking for this guy who was 4 days off of, had missed his parole, was parole violator.
They'll
for God's
probably
sake,
charge that guy.
Well, I would. Who the guy, the dead guy?
No, they'll charge the guy who escaped with the other guy's death.
Yeah, right, causing a
collateral.
But as reminds me a little bit of that Paul Newman thing. What was the movie?
Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. I mean, you know, if they catch this guy, you can bet he's going to end up with several bullets in him.
Right.
I mean, and this is for, it reminds me a little bit also of the...
Well, they didn't even shoot Saddam Hussein when they found him.
Right. Well, it reminds me of the movies. It's so funny how this stuff works out. In One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, Jack Nicholson, he was in there for nothing. I mean, he was some kind of an evaluation thing. And as things snowballed, he ended up dead.
Right.
With a lobotomy, for God's sakes.
Right.
Well, the same thing, I can see this. Here's a guy who was 4 days away from being released. I mean, wouldn't you think you'd just say, screw it, you know? I don't. This is too much trouble. And what's up there? They're one of the nice things is. People are making money. They're selling T-shirts called Run Bucky Run. I mean, he's from up around in that area, and they got coffee mugs and T-shirts and everything. Memorabilia being sold. He's like part Seneca Indian or something, and he's living like Stallone did in the Rambo movie. You know,
First
in the
Blood.
First Blood, right? Whatever, you know. So I mean,
that's your fun, but not me.
So anyway, my point is that you talk about. Over-responding, overreacting. I mean,
well, at least they have something to hang their hats on. There, I mean,
I suppose. Well,
he did escape or whatever. I mean,
yeah, he did. Again,
I've defended a guy who quote unquote escaped because he didn't return he didn't return in time to where he's supposed to meet the authorities. You know, he got a day off,
right?
And he went and he was back in 36 hours instead of 24 or
right.
something. And he got charged with escape. And they want him to go do 3 months more in jail.
Why?
It was because he escaped.
I know, but seriously. I mean, what, we don't have enough people in jail? I mean, you know, the United States...
They just didn't like the guy.
Well, that's the bottom line. Right? They didn't like the guy.
Well, and now here's another one. At least they had something to hang their hat on, like I said on that one. I read in the Big Dig... article. Did
right.
you see that about the Big Dig in the tunnel?
Right, this was the tunnel. We talked
and
about this.
Yeah, I know we did, but there's a new development in this, and that is, of course, what happened was a piece of the tunnel fell off.
20 tons or something.
Okay, a piece.
Mm-hmm. A piece.
And killed some woman.
Right.
Okay, now they're investigating whether or not to bring criminal charges.
Right.
Against the concrete?
I guess.
No,
it's going to be the engineer or the contractor
right,
or something.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
you think about it again, where's the intent? I mean, there's nothing. These people are trying to build a tunnel.
Well, you say that, but I think that one of the questions, and this happened, I remember when I first came to Florida, the same thing, was that there was not only negligence, but what do you call it when you have purposeful negligence? I mean,
gross negligence
in the water that was used in the concrete. They took some shortcuts, in other words. They took some shortcuts that were not specified.
That
on
never
purpose.
Happens.
Yeah. Well,
and
actually...
My thought is still, these people wanted to build a tunnel. They tried to build a tunnel. They weren't trying to build a tunnel that was going to collapse.
Well, you say that, but I can tell you, let me tell you one thing, that when I first got here to Florida, I remember this was the case.
The Howard Franklin Bridge
was, the day it was opened, it was like a washboard. And the reason was they had used salt water instead of fresh water in mixing the concrete as a short. And they went down and interviewed the inspector, who was...
Very rich by now.
Very rich. He was living down in Sarasota in a really nice house. And he had, cases of Jack Daniels and one single malt whiskey all over his house. And on and on and on. And on his little, back then, no salary. And, you know, they kind of like me. You know, they decided to give me a retirement going away. He'd retired after the day the bridge was finished or whatever.
Right, that's his
and
retirement
Mike,
day.
Mike Wallace went down there and said, you know, how do you explain it? Well, nothing to explain. You know, well, obviously the guy did bribe. I mean, no question about it. He had money in the bank, new house and everything. And as a result, there had been shortcuts on the bridge. Now, like you say, maybe they didn't...
Still, this is a civil action. You sue the guy.
Okay.
You take his money. But the idea that you can somehow hold him criminally responsible because... Somebody's going to die on the bridge or something, and then they go skidding off, and their car smashes or whatever. Hey, driving is dangerous,
right?
And you got to be careful. And if the bridge sucks, you don't go so fast over it.
Well, that's true. Okay, but what about the tunnel though? Who is to know when you're driving through? It looks okay, and all of a sudden, kaboom!
Hey, man, again, driving is dangerous. Accidents happen.
Well, that's true.
Things fall to pieces.
Right.
I mean, entropy.
Especially new things.
Entropy happens.
Right.
And
I noticed one thing. I did notice about that. They left it closed for cars. Cars, but they opened it for buses.
Yeah, well, who needs the buses anyway?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, why do one person when you can get, you know, 90 at a time? I mean, what the hell? I mean, if the damn thing's going to collapse, let's get a bunch of them out.
And get a big heavy thing in there, not a little old car.
That's right, but you put 20 tons on a bus, it's going to crunk.
It's going to crunk.
That's right.
Well, my thought is still, and until you can go back and say that there was some actual intent. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people out there who are trying to do some harm. They take their gun and they go kill their neighbor.
Well, that's true.
And those are the people that the jail is for.
Does this not dovetail with something we talked about in one of the other things about that ferry guy that ran in?
Right, the ferry boat, same thing.
Same thing.
And,
yeah.
and the guy driving the bus for the evacuees coming out of Hurricane Rita.
Right.
Yeah. What about the Valdez? That guy had been drinking.
Yeah. Okay. So what? Sue Exxon.
Yeah.
But you don't throw him in jail, and they threw the people who hired him in jail.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They did.
I mean, for a year they threw those guys in jail. I mean, here you are. You're a CEO of a company. You hire a boat captain, experienced ship captain.
Right.
He gets drunk. Wrecks a boat. Do you think he had any intention of wrecking that boat at all?
No.
And I don't care.
Is this called mens rea, Ray mens rea?
That's it, mens rea.
Mens rea.
It used to be that you had to have the intent to commit some kind of
crime.
Not
anymore. Okay, so what's next? You got another one there?
Did you want to talk about your PBS thing? Speaker's mouth must be obscured by a digital masking process, and
oh yeah,
compound words must be audibly bleeped in their entirety so you can't decipher the words.
we'll move on to the FCC.
Okay, we don't care.
Okay, FCC,
whatever.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's important because they've now increased the fines that the FCC can levy on obscenity.
Well, this
tenfold.
Well, not only that,
it's up to $325,000 or something
per incident.
Per incident, yeah.
You get one Howard Stern sentence, and you could be looking at a million.
Well, of course, he's
bucks.
On cable, so that or whatever satellite, so that doesn't matter.
Well, that's for a good reason.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
The big fear here is this Ken Burns thing that's coming up.
Right.
Now, this is the Ken Burns what?
Ken Burns, famous documenter, has made a bunch of documentaries for public broadcasting,
okay,
and he has this new
about
one about
not related
water.
To Mr. Burns.
No.
Okay.
Excellent. Although his stuff is excellent.
Excellent.
It really is, and he's done a new one about the war, and apparently they have some excerpts in there.
Now, which war is this?
World War II.
World War II, okay.
And
this is like Saving Private Ryan or something.
Exactly.
Now, Saving Private Ryan, you remember, there was a big hoorah about whether they were going to clip that out too. There was some. I think
all the violence and stuff.
I think they let it. I think he got a special dispensation from the FCC Pope or something to let that one go through.
Yeah, well, and apparently Ken Burns, who is one of the benevolent because he always does it for public broadcasting,
right?
They are questioning now whether or not they want this obscenity to go through,
right?
And they're saying, well, in certain contexts, it's okay, but basically what they've done is they've come up against the problem here that the FCC now has so much power.
Right.
If they can fine you $250,000 per swear word, basically they own you.
Yeah.
They own your company because they can shut it down.
Well, certainly PBS.
Based on, well, yeah, but I mean, they own every company. Yeah. Every broadcaster out there now is,
the question, yeah,
survives only at the whim of the FCC.
What about us?
Well,
no, we're
we're exempt from the FCC.
We're exempt. Yeah, we are exempt actually. So far.
No,
that don't get carried away by that. There's actually some people that don't like that. No, the thing
I mean,
is,
if I wanted to say, then they couldn't do anything about it. Look, where'd that come from?
No. What?
Hey,
wait a minute.
Hey, I was just talking.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm a little nervous now. No, the thing is that it's per. The thing about it is when you talk about $300,000, here you have a Ken Burns thing, which the F word and some other words could be uttered maybe 100 times, say,
right,
during the 2 or 3 hours. Maybe it's a miniseries. I don't know. And, of course, each station now, I suppose, is liable.
Right.
There's 300-500 stations that are going to show this.
Right.
So, I mean, you talk about a way to get rich.
The FCC can collect billions of dollars.
Right. And
we should pose as an FCC collector.
There's an idea.
Open an offshore FCC account.
There you go.
Well, it's only going to be the Navy guys are going to swear anyway. You know, Stitch and Pinky type people. You know?
Well, no, they. I don't know. To be honest with you, I do know that they're looking for, again, a special dispensation, I think, for it. What I find fascinating along the same lines here is how PBS is supposed to be the be-all to end-all. That is, we can get stuff on PBS you can't get anyplace else type stuff. And yet they have actually more restrictions very often, I think, than the other shows. I'll give you an example. If you ever watch one of my new favorite shows, is Rescue Me. Well, they use
Dennis Leary,
right. And they use shit and everything like that.
Ooh!
No, they out of the seven deadly words, they use about six of them.
Well, I'll tell you, speech ain't free no more. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how and to what extent. Of course, that happens to be a cable channel. That's not a broadcast over the air channel, which is apparently different from the FCC as far as the FCC is concerned. But the big question, obviously, is what about this Ken Burns thing? As they say, he's supposed to be one of the good guys, and I guess the jury's still out on that, huh?
Well, my thought is the fact that they're even thinking about giving them a waiver just illustrates
the power they have.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, if they can fine you that much, that control really equates to ownership. I mean, they own every broadcast station in the United States.
The fact that you accept it as a waiver. That means you're recognizing their jurisdiction.
That's it.
And I mean, this is World War II. Did they even have cuss words back then? I mean, this is pre-Leave It to Beaver.
I don't know. They might have been. They probably have.
That darn airplane engine done stalled again. You know, what are they going to say?
The British cuss word, wanker.
The wankers.
That's right. That's right.
And those German wankers are shooting at us again.
Yeah, bloody. Bloody wankers. It's bloody, bloody poor. bloody good show. That kind of stuff is not frowned on.
I guess so.
And, so if it's a foreign cuss word. You know.
Right.
Yakuno Lede.
Oh, there you go. Jimmy Jones Show just had subtitles.
That's right. Hey, gubbe e Sverige. My one Swedish
cuss word.
That's right. Okay, good.
So, you know, God bless him. Hopefully he gets through. Who knows?
But the whole book this brings up again, we're talking about the freedom of speech thing. This all starts from the nascent idea that the government owns the airwaves and that we lease them.
Right.
And they never trusted the market because the airwaves were supposedly a scarce resource. And the next thing you know, everybody's just going to be interfering with everybody and it'll be just chaos and nobody will be able to listen to the radio.
Right. Yeah, it's absolute crap.
No, it's...
You can pulse code signals. You can have a million frequencies out there.
The point is that who knows, but that pulse coding of signals, radar and everything wouldn't have been already done and over with by 1935.
Right.
Instead of having to wait because of the standard. I mean, another perfect example is, and this happened so many times, the television standards were invented in the late 20s, essentially. That's why when we went first to color, we didn't have high def because they had a bandwidth restriction and so forth. That was all the technology would allow. And they cast it in concrete, 3.5 megahertz color burst rate or whatever the heck it was. And we are still living with that today. Now, they've now mandated, of course, that all TVs are going to be HD, I think totally HD. I don't believe you're even going to be allowed to broadcast the old kind of stuff after about 2008 or 9 or 10 or something. I don't know exactly. Maybe somebody can write to jimmy@jimmydone.com and tell me, but I because we don't do any research here to speak of. Like the Hangar Dogs, right? Because those people are research hounds. Those people, boy, I talk about research. I tell you, those guys do big time research.
Yeah, and if it psychically comes to them in a dream.
Yeah, I guess that's close enough.
Close enough. All right. So what else? Anything else on
that? What
this?
Do you got? Anything else on that?
That's all I got.
Well, the only other thing I had was legal was the guy who got 150 years for pornography or something. I'm thinking. I wonder if that was enough.
No, I had
here. Virginia man gets 150 years for child porn.
What, he have it on his computer?
Yeah, he had it on his computer. Well, he had done something with a child or with his kid, who of course this kid Barry, who was the guy that testified against him, was an admitted guy who did sex for money and over the internet and everything like that before he met the guy who's going to got the 150 years. So he testified against him. I guess the guy's getting 150 years, and I'm wondering, you know, plea deal, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, but I'm wondering, 150, why does somebody get three death sentences or 150 years? I'm curious to know about that.
Well, it's for parole purposes, and the idea is, it used to be that when somebody got 100 years, they only went and served 20 or something.
Right.
And the definition of parole says, or used to say things like, you have to serve X percentage, but the percentages was quite small.
Right.
Here in Florida, they've changed it now. You have to serve 85% of your sentence.
Right.
And a lot of other states have done the same thing as well. But the reason they get 150 years or three life sentences is just to really make sure they stay in there for 80 or 90 years versus, you know, you don't really get the 150.
Okay, I was just wondering what he's going to look like at that point.
Yeah. Well, they're going to keep him in there after he's dead.
Okay.
Now, I do have one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
On the legal front, the Tour de France. We had American win. Woohoo!
Oh, did he win? Okay,
yes.
I knew. I thought he was. Now today was the last day.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be not exactly a cakewalk, but he was ahead.
Yeah, well, they never challenge the leader on the last day.
They don't.
No,
that's, they did
tradition.
One year.
No, the tradition is they don't challenge on the last day.
Really?
Yeah.
No. But I heard that in 1989, didn't somebody come from behind on the last?
No, that was Greg LeMond.
Right.
It was the day before last.
Okay.
And he won by 8 seconds.
Okay.
And the guy who was behind by 8 seconds did not challenge him on the last day.
Why not?
Nobody does. Well, because it's a 20-day race, and they figure if you can't win in the first 19 days...
By 8 seconds? You got to be kidding me.
I'd
be pulling it out.
Yeah, well...
if you don't like it, go to Russia.
That's it.
And so they've got all that time to get in front, and the last day is kind of a congratulatory, hey, we made it kind of a day.
Right, 8 times around the Champs-Élysées or something
exactly.
Like that, yeah.
And then they have a sprint for the end so the people can win the stage, that
right.
is the day.
Right, right.
But the overall race leader is not challenged.
Okay, good.
So he actually won yesterday.
Okay.
But the big news about that is that right before the race started, they had a giant drug bust.
Right. What, three of the favorites or something
yes.
were booted out?
Yeah.
For blood doping or something?
Yeah, they had, like you said, at least three of the favorites and a whole bunch of other people, like 15 people, they excluded from the race based on the fact that they weren't healthy enough, according to, well, because they'd ingested some substance that just wasn't cleared.
I thought it made them more healthy.
Well, of course it did. These people know what they're doing. I mean, these are the top athletes in the world.
Right.
I mean, who are you going to trust, them or some administrative board over there?
Yeah, that's
I mean, this is a guy who's getting ready to ride 2,000 miles on a bicycle.
Right.
You don't think he knows what it's going to take to make him get there?
I am invincible.
Exactly. But they booted them all out. And, well, actually, it was... Well, yeah, they put pressure on the teams, and the teams excluded the people. But the bottom line is they could not have excluded these people without the rules
right.
and the regulations, which say that there are certain performance-enhancing substances, not Wheaties, because Wheaties will that'll enhance your performance. But there's stuff that if it's much better than that, then it's excluded.
I see. It's just a kind of a general... If it's much better than Wheaties, if it's, 182% as good as Wheaties, then you're out.
Right.
I don't care what, if Cheerios. No, sorry, that's doesn't work.
Yeah, something like
that. I watched some of it, and I did see the person, he lost it, like 3 or 4 days ago.
And then he
came back, and, the miracle was the miracle that will be talked about for eons, and so went down the history books and on.
Yeah, it was a good race.
Yeah, apparently it was. So that's some tough biking. Well, I learned a new word. What is it? Peloton?
Oh.
Peloton? Peloton? Peloton?
Oh, Peloton.
Peloton, right. Peloton.
Right, which refers to the group of
the
bicyclists.
Group. Yeah, I mean, I figured it out after a while, but I mean, like, I didn't realize until
what
I...
What does it refer to?
Well, I finally looked up on Wikipedia, but it turns out that basically the riders all start off in a bunch, like wasps.
Swarm of bees.
Like a bee swarm of bees, right. And then at some point, there's a breakaway.
Right.
And there's a lot of aerodynamics involved.
Right, because of the drafting principle, and because you're going 200 miles or whatever per day.
Well, Rusty Wiles will tell you that.
Right. And so because of the drafting, the Peloton can move faster than smaller groups.
Right.
The more people that are in the group, the faster
and
you
there's,
can move.
And it's like galaxies. They come in different shapes.
Right,
spiral Peloton and the oval Peloton and the strung out Peloton and whatever it is. Anyway, at some point in time, there's the leaders do the breakaway.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. But they gauge so much of the actual event from the Peloton. Now, is the Peloton, when they measure so many seconds, is it from the front of the Peloton? I guess it is.
Well, the whole Peloton is considered to be at the same time.
Really?
Yes. So if you pass in a mass of bicyclists, in fact, if you pass in any group at all, if your wheels are crossing, then you get the same time.
So say that again.
If your wheel is touching the wheel of the guy in front of you, or if it's crossing in the... parallel plane there. That is to say,
right?
You know, the
well, so wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
There's no separation between the bicyclists. You get the same time.
So in other words, the peloton all comes across at the same time.
Exactly.
So even though this thing's a mile long,
yeah,
the guy at the back goes is the same. Well, it actually sort of makes sense in a way, because I guess if you're any kind of bicyclist, if you really wanted to, you could be at the front.
Yeah.
Anybody could be because of the way the drafting and all that.
Right.
The aerodynamics works and everything.
It's not difficult. And the problem becomes one of the physical ability to move around the guy in front of you.
Right.
On those narrow streets.
Right.
And it's just the general.
Okay, well, that sort of makes sense. Okay, I can appreciate that. That's typical French shit.
Yeah.
You know, what do you expect? Well, you know, it is kind of interesting that a lot of people don't realize it. It's not like they race all, whatever it is, 2,000 miles, 2,100 miles, whatever it is, in a row. I mean, they do it over the days, and they fly from place to place. And some of them are different on purpose, that they're different. In other words, one of them will be a mountain climb. Another one will be a time trial. In other words, a race to the... I mean, there are different kinds of races, actually, in the 19 days, or how many days there are.
Yeah, there's 20 days.
Okay.
And there's a couple of different time trials in there. So there's a team time trial.
Right.
Individual time trials. And there's a few days in the Pyrenees and a few days in the Alps.
Right.
And a few days across the Straits. And different people have different advantages.
Well, did you see the crowds, though?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I remember one time... I was over there one time when I accidentally happened to be in... one of those little towns when they came through, and
yeah, there's 500,000 people on Alpe d'Huez.
There you are. On where now? 500,000 people? What?
Alpe d'Huez is the most famous, most widely attended.
Oh, really?
Mountain, yeah.
Well, the thing that they did say was that they sold 1 million periscope things in Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 million of those little cardboardy things with the two mirrors, you know, that you could see over the people in front of you.
Oh, really?
They sold 1 million of them.
See, wow. If we had Jimmy Doan zaps on all those.
God, isn't that the truth? You know, we should have put them out as a, yeah, you're right about that. Of course, then we must speak as a French language.
Well, we'll spell Jimmy Doan in French.
That's right. Well, that's right. Well, I know what in Norwegian, it's Jopin Jiminy.
Jopin Jiminy.
So, no, the deal is that I was in this little dorpy little town, and there was like maybe 200-300 people that were out looking. I mean, as they came through, it was obviously not. This was 1965, no TV.
That was
no TV.
Eddie Merck at that point.
No, I don't know, but it was 65 is when I think it was either 65 or 66. I think it was 65. Anyway, and that's they came through some dorpy little town I was staying in.
Yeah, the bicycle with the big wheel up front and a little
one. Yeah, just about. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you're not allowed to ride the recumbent bicycles or anything like that, huh?
Oh, they've got a bunch of strict standards.
Yeah, I'll bet they do.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I saw this guy. You'd have to be in some kind of shape. I saw the guy.
Lance's bike was what? Frickin' $250,000 or something? No, how much was his bike?
Yeah, I mean, something like that.
Well, but you see the hats they've got look like they're from anime cartoons. I mean, their hair is, it's all back like a ducktail.
Anime cartoons.
It is. I mean, they look like anime characters, these guys. Honest to God.
Show MegaCon fit right in.
We missed it. That was this last weekend.
What?
No, not
Comic, the big one. The big one.
No, that was the one in L.A.
In L.A. was it?
Oh, yeah,
in
L.A.
Today.
Well,
and today.
Yeah, and but, today. Well, okay, well, then we're, you know.
We sucked.
Hey, you know, let us know about these things and, you know, support it, you know, with all these revenues from the Jimmy Doan Show, you should at least buy some tickets.
You'd think. Well, and actually, if they just send the tickets, it'd be an open date.
Right, exactly.
It would be good. Okay, what's next?
I got just light notes.
Light notes, good. I got some, too. Go ahead.
Okay.
Need a light notes chime or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just steal the Hanger Dog's beer chime. We'll use that.
There you go. I noticed that their beer chime. Are they on the wagon or something? I didn't hear.
Hadn't been going off very often.
No, I think it was a little problem.
They were awfully like coherent and not slurring or anything.
Yeah. Woo, that's scary.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe something. We'll have to ask them about that.
Yep.
I don't know. Some of these may suck. And a judge orders paintballers to hit their own cars. these two kids, they were out shooting cars with paintballs, you know, and the judge decided that instead of the 60-day in jail sentence that he was going to throw at them, decided to have them shoot their own cars with the paintball gun.
Probably liked that.
They probably did, you know, and then he also...
Well, I'd leave my car painted up that way.
Yeah, boy, and that's right. Yeah.
You know what? I've seen some paint jobs that actually did look like that.
Well, you know, years ago we wanted to make up the Gauchemobile.
Yeah, that'd be a classic. We should have an an artist rendition of that.
Yeah.
Stranded driver plays dead to get help. Sydney,
really?
Australia. Yeah, you remember that Tom Green where he played dead? He just laid down on the sidewalk, and it was like he's there for like 20 minutes, and nobody's stopping to see what's wrong with him. You know, well, this guy had the same idea because he figured nobody would stop, so he just played dead until some woman pulled over, and then
must have scared the poop out of her.
Yeah, in the middle of the road, he did this. So.
That's a little scary because I can remember when I was a kid, one of the fun things we used to do. Was to stuff a dummy. And put it out in the middle of the road. And I'll tell you, people would run over the damn thing.
Right.
Thinking, hey, yeah, if I'd been there, whoa, I don't think so.
Well, didn't you say, like, they ran over, then they backed up?
Well, yeah, and then they got out and looked and realized it was a dummy. And, you know, what we would do sometimes is, after we destroyed a couple of pairs of our jeans and everything, we'd stuff them all with newspapers, and then we'd lean up against the fence post with a bottle of whiskey.
Right. Of course.
We lost the bottle of whiskey several times. They'd take that right away.
It's amazing. There's a whiskey fairy that comes around here and leaves a bottle. I don't know. Three cops shot while blasting a pit bull. Which kind of reminds you of like Larry, Curly, and Moe. Yeah, three officers. Well, they killed the dog, but they grazed each other with bullets as they were trying to do that.
I'll shoot him from this side, and you shoot him from that side.
Yeah. We'll get him in the crossfire.
Some guy was responding to a dispute between a landlord and a tenant, and the animal ran from one floor to another. Dog was killed in gunfire. Let's see. Oh, God. You know, I didn't realize this, but you're not right. They do eat actual dogs in China.
No, that's everybody knows that. Vietnam is also dog eat territory.
Well,
yeah,
apparently this Chinese headmaster, he was bribing his colleagues by secretly preparing dog meat for them because he was selling off 1,000 trees around the school property. But the problem was, as he was cooking up the dog meat, the school caught fire. And burned a lot of stuff here. I don't know. You know, basically, a lot of the school got screwed up. But I was just like, wow, they actually. I mean, he's bribing them with dog meat. I mean, don't they have cows over there or something? Or
no, they do. But dog meat's
it's like a delicacy or something.
Well, I don't know about delicacy, but it's food. And the
what kind of dogs do they eat?
Well, the dead ones mostly, and but the other thing is, you know, horse meat, for instance, is eaten a lot in a lot of countries, and we don't eat it in this country, and I don't know why
it is.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can go to any restaurant.
Hey, man, meat is meat.
Yeah, you can go about any restaurant in Paris, in France, and order horse meat.
Really?
Sure.
Wow. How about this one, Curtis? Thanking Jesus in court lands man in jail.
Whoa!
This guy goes, you know, thank you, Jesus, and the. Judge threw him in contempt. And,
for what?
An outburst.
I see. Well, that'll do it.
And apparently, well, this guy was 47 years old, and he was in jail for... The charge was maybe hitting his 15-year-old son with a broomstick, but it was dropped when the boy said that it never happened. But anyway...
Oh, so that's more that DCF stuff you're talking about, can you imagine?
But basically the
spank court... Spank your own kid, boom, done, gone.
Oh, yeah, goodbye.
Yeah, you have to spank these days, just for our listeners, if you're going to spank your kid, you have to spank him with an open hand on the bottom, and you can't leave a mark.
Okay.
That's pretty much what it is. And so anyway, the judge dropped the...
charge, but he says, thank you, Jesus, and then he went to jail.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
God almighty. I guess the judge didn't have his jail quota met that day or something.
Yeah, probably not. How about this? Cop's night job as a hooker is nixed.
Oh.
I know. Well, this is in Wellington, New Zealand, and I didn't know this.
Oh, well.
But prostitution is legal there.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And, of course, a lot of the police officers are, you know, they're encouraged to take another job. Yeah, she. And
sheep.
So.
I see.
Oh, she.
New Zealand's a sheep capital. Yeah, that's what I said.
She's allowed to keep her day job after giving up the night duties. But apparently a spokeswoman for the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective, NZPC, said that depending on which brothel she worked in, she might actually earn up to $312 on a busy night.
Whoa, so, I'm in.
You know, that's a secondary job.
Yeah.
She's all excited.
Yeah.
And the only thing I got is what sells for $1 million a gallon and is made in Mexico?
Tequila.
Look at this.
Whoa. No chance.
Yeah. Bottle of tequila sells for $225,000. This guy, apparently, they were trying
to be drunk to buy that.
And I mean, you bet exactly. They had a free tasting for 2 days before this auction. No, basically, they said that we were trying to set the Guinness Book of World Records as most expensive bottle in the world. Fernando Altamirano, chief executive producer of Tequila Ley. Basically, Tequila Ley .925 has produced 66 bottles of the Passion Azteca tequila, half of them pure platinum bottles. Half of them are gold and platinum decorated bottles that sell for slightly less extravagant price of $150,000. And
We can beat that right here. This Coca-Cola.
Exactly.
$1 million.
$1 million.
Call Guinness.
For those on a smaller budget, there's 1,000 bottles or 999 bottles of the same tequila in gold and silver.
999 bottles of beer on the wall.
Exactly. Priced at $25,000 a piece. But Altamirano, whose company has won awards for its stylish bottle, said the next goal was to create a $1 million tequila bottle made from diamond-encrusted platinum and auction it at Sotheby's next year. So, I mean, somebody's...
Boy, they better not leave a hangover if you...
I mean, $250,000 for a bottle of tequila?
Well, it's the bottle. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, so what? That doesn't count. You know, it's when you do a bottle of wine, for instance, it's because it's supposed to be a good bottle of wine or something.
Right.
But tequila, you know, whatever. It's what, the worm is special or whatever?
You can make margaritas with it anyway.
Yeah, that's right. okay,
anything else?
I got a couple things. A couple things here real quick. One is, and this actually, I don't know if this qualifies exactly as a light note, but an Arizona ballot could become a lottery ticket. Now, what they're proposing to do in order to get people to vote, and I've always said that you should have quorum voting anyway.
Right.
All too often, especially here in this town, we pass, I mean, big taxes, and people say, with 20% turnout. You know, and people say, well, if you don't like it, you should, you know, you didn't vote, so you have no say. And I'm thinking, whoa, no, that's not the way it's supposed to work. And as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't be able to pass a lot of these laws, a lot of these taxes, especially in referendums and that go along, unless you have a 50% turnout. Well, in Arizona, they've had some poor turnouts. And what this one guy has got it on the ballot, as a matter of fact, for this November. And he has said that if it passes, it'll become part of the statutes or the Constitution or whatever. And that is they will award $1 million at random to a voter in elections. And where the money will come from, it turns out, is could come from, at any rate, is from they have a regular lottery in Arizona.
Taking it from education.
we
wish.
Right. For the children. The deal is that we have the same thing here in Florida. There are unclaimed lotto prizes.
Right.
And there's apparently in Arizona, you know, population 50 or whatever they get over there, your chance of winning this $1 million is actually pretty good, a lot better than the lottery, I tell you that. When you figure that here the chance of winning the lottery like 1 in 26 million, well, there's only 2 million voters or something, if that many. So you figure that if you go ahead and cast, you know, 2-3 votes each election to try and up your odds, you know, vote early and vote often, as they say. But anyway, the point is that you have a, you know, 1 in a million, 1 in a 2 million chance of winning this $1 million, which is, you know, not bad for going to vote. Anyway, the deal is that
sub prizes or just the
no,
big one?
Apparently just the mill. So so the idea is to get more people to vote. Well, as you would expect, there's two sides to this equation, but they're going to vote on it. And my point is, of course, that it's a good thing. At least you ought to have a quorum. And they're saying, well, this is bribery. And I'm thinking, it's not so different from what we got now. I don't understand that. Number one, and then they're talking about people will just walk in there just to vote and not know what the hell's going on. And I'm thinking, your point is, you know, and I mean, this is different from today. And this one guy, Mr. Gans, says, people should not go vote because they might win a lottery. And I'm thinking, and why not? I mean, what, you know, what they're saying is that they should be for religion or civic duty. It's a hard job, but we should not make voting crassly commercial. Huh? What are they talking about? I mean, during the voting season, if it's not commercial, if it's not crassly commercial, if it's not a pack of lies, I don't know what is. I mean, the fact is that so many people are elected or issues are decided on one or two word signs. I mean, all around here, you'll see a sign that says no.
Right.
I mean, yes, that's it. No, number five. That's the whole thing. That's the issue. The issue is not, we don't even know what number five is. But if you see a whole bunch of number five, you know.
Yeah, there was a bunch of no's out
that's
there.
Right.
I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to go with no. That's right. I mean, and nobody knows. And they said, but higher numbers do not necessarily mean a better outcome. And I'm thinking, well, it can't be any worse.
Yeah,
I mean, it can't be any worse than it is today. Of course, they're worried about the legality of it. And as you know, it's supposedly illegal to buy somebody's vote. And the way the statutes, there's federal and local statutes, and a lot of them say you can't pay somebody to vote against or for an issue. Well, of course, if you're paying them just to vote,
right?
There's some professor Jack Chin in University of Arizona. He says it's patently illegal, and I'm thinking, well, that's all he had to say, and nothing to back it up. But the big chickens in this, it seemed to me, the state political leaders so far are keeping their distance. Governor,
of course you should.
That's right. Governor Janet Napolitano, a Democrat, will also be on the November out as candidate for re-election, has declined to take a position. You chicken shit. You
know,
I mean, really, give me a break. I'm thinking this might actually be not, I'm wondering, maybe, right, this may not be a bad idea. I mean, people, we literally have had a program here, I think we talked about this once, called Our Choices Program, which was decided by less than 10% of the electorate.
Right.
And they now have $14 million that they don't know what to do with. Now, you bet they're going to figure out what to do with it. But right now, the people who are supposed to be the beneficiaries of this program are voting with their, or not voting with their feet, or if you want to call it that. They have told these people, look, you qualify, but it's a typical government program, and then you have to fill out this, you know, 92-page questionnaire in order to qualify. It's for the poor people. Who can't read or write, homeless, whatever, I don't know. You have a job, but it's between 33 and a half and 34 hours a week, and you earn, you know, between $9,212 and $9,214, whatever the hell it is. I mean, there's like 18 particular restrictions, and they have people that call up, and so far, of the $14 million, virtually all the money has been spent on, quote, overhead, mm-hmm. which I think is interesting, because when you realize that government itself is the overhead of society.
Right.
I mean, that's all it is. And in any business, what you try and do is to keep the overhead as small as possible. Well, here's overhead on overhead.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is getting ridiculous. You spent a couple $100,000 on the, it's not going to the poor people or whatever the people that it's supposed to go to. It's just the overhead mm-hmm. of a program that is overhead in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, how far do you have to go? I mean,
maybe they should have a big voting festival every year with, you know, beer and chicken and
I think people are a little too hasty. The weekend might not be a bad idea, but I know that people love to go vote and see what in this MTV generation, you'd like to see the results of the election like you do on the internet here, you know, when you right. click what's the vote and right. that's it, boom, done. And to ask people to wait till Monday morning, I don't know, might be a little too much. But I agree with you on one thing, and that it does appear that it should be, it would appear at first glance that it maybe should be on a weekend. But I do know there are several, I don't know if it's any more, but there were a lot of places around that didn't, like, you had to have the liquor stores closed on voting day, which I thought was kind of, for some of these people, you have to be drunk.
Yeah.
That's the only way to put them in office.
No, I mean, it is interesting. People say that if you don't vote, you don't have a say in this. And on so many of these issues, it's literally Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I mean, it doesn't matter. And they're both
that's why
it should require
a quorum, supermajority voting for
right.
many things.
And you're not required to vote.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But that's right. And I'm saying, and the question is, and somebody, people might want to take issue with this, but I, off the top of my head, I don't see a problem with the bribery thing here.
No, I don't either.
I mean, you can bet that I'll bet you the turnout would be pretty fair.
They already bribe me. They give one of those little stickers that says, kiss me, I voted.
That's right. Well, mine doesn't say kiss me. Of course, they know me, so they
shoot
obviously...
Shoot me, I voted.
Shoot me, that's right. You call that a vote? That's right. So I'm done with that.
What else? Right. Did you have another one?
Yeah, I got one more.
Mm-hmm.
The apparently, and there's a couple quotes from this, the Sex Toy Expo is fun, not novel. Now, this girl, apparently,
of course it's fun.
Well, of course, right. Regina, Regina Lynn, we probably ought to do a Google image search for her.
Oh, lover.
There she is.
Hello, Regina. Okay. Anyway, this is the mini expo. This is not the big one. This is not the big Las Vegas.
My name's Jimmy Doan.
That's right. I can never get within touching distance of any of these people. I don't know. The story is there.
So what about the
this is apparently a mini expo. This is the sex toy expo, as different from the adult expo in Las Vegas, which regularly draws like lots and lots of people. You know what's, what we do in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. No, this is a small one. I don't know. To be honest with you, I forget. I don't know where it was. But this is the second year. And see, this is just for the toys. But what's interesting, as usual, there's half the stuff's tied to iPods.
Well, it will be.
Well, that's what they say. But I thought some of the quotes in here. First of all, this was on the internet, so they had the little blue links. You know, whenever you put your mouse, your hand up near this particular job or whatever it is, it turns to a hand, so you can go to the links. And then they have but they told you right ahead that a lot of the links were not for what is NSFW? What is that? Not suitable for women. No, not suitable for
work.
Web work.
Not suitable for work.
So you're not supposed to look at these sites while you're in your cubicle. But the thing is, A&E has few porn stars and fewer fanboys and no high-definition television sets. Well, what's a fanboy?
I don't know.
I don't know either. No red carpet show. Thought that was interesting. But they did say, but apparently they're selling the usual...
A fanboy is the guy who holds the fan and fans the woman who's sprawled out there.
You think?
Like
is that true?
The grape feeder. I don't know, I'm making that up. But.
Okay, I was going to say, because I know what a fluffer is. But I don't
Let's go into that, Jimmy. What is a fluffer?
Fluffer. There was that girl that was going to set the Guinness record for the number of, sexual liaisons in a day or 24 hours or whatever it was that she had. And you basically, all these guys were lined up for free to do it, So they're lined up, around the corner. And in order to make sure she set this record, which was like, she was going to get laid like 1,000 times or something. So, they hand you the condom and then they have these little fluffer girls that kind of get you warmed up.
Get you warmed up.
They fluff things up there, So, if you lasted more than about 60 seconds, you were history anyway. So anyway, that's what they tell me.
The guys got fluffed right out of the line.
Yeah, that's right.
No!
I was gonna say. Whoops, no good. I see. Well, okay. So anyway, they have apparently this year, and this, I love the way they had all these accoutrements and things that you could use, along with enough lube to slide every college student in America into home base at the same time. I thought that, but they have a lot of this stuff. Apparently, a lot of these stuff is adapted for people with disabilities. They have apparently an $850 chair that is quite unique. That comes with lots of attachments that you can do. And it says here, this one particular thing has various intensity levels, and you can press the orgasm button at any time if you get impatient. I love this. I touch, but I don't ride. Both the monkey rocker and its inventors, Dan Seashart, whatever, retailing for about $800, a cybersex-ready rocking chair holds as much as 450 pounds, and it works with a variety of dildos and anal toys. I'm thinking, my God, whoa, 450 pounds! That's somebody for the Maury show. I don't know.
Exactly.
That person will be on Springer. Okay, so I'm done with that.
Let's
call it a show.
See you later. And that's my cue to exit.
All right. Don't forget to write us jimmy@jimmydone.com. And we will hopefully be able to do this pretty quick. We waited a little too long on this one, didn't we?
Yeah, this was...
It's your fault, Curtis.
Yeah.
You've got to... Come on up here.
Busy lawyer.
Busy lawyer, right. Well, we did cover the legal waterfront this time.
I wanted to also mention to our listeners, too, that there are a couple shows that we've done in the past that are what we kind of consider the timeless classic.
Oh, that's right.
There was that one that we went in depth about the laws that we thought that the Supreme Court should repeal.
That's right.
And and again, if you're just in the mood to listen to some of those shows, and they're not actually necessarily have to be all current as far as the topics are concerned. We have done some of those, and we'll do some more too. I'm sure some more timeless shows.
Timeless
classic.
That's right.
So and anyone, if you're waiting for a good laugh, I put in the copy there something that they have really hilarious parts.
So you do a word search on hilarious
or howling.
Howling.
to the howling.
The howling. If you want a good laugh, there's a couple of good ones in there. They're always good for a best of sort of Jimmy. In case you want.
Yeah, we're going to put together a DVD or CD or something.
Yeah, well, find some engineer to do it.
All right,
well,
anyway, so this is the July 23rd, 1 week to go before the end of the month. And
make sure you listen to Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs. Also, Stefan Molyneux at Freedom Main. You have to get him through his website. He's not on iTunes anymore, I don't think. But he's got some. I listen to him all the time. And also, the latest Jack Clark. Boy, talk about a
blast the right.
Blast the right. Boy, I tell you, here's a guy who really knows how to use his statistics. You know, there's lies. it's liars figure and figures lie. This guy, he'll use the numbers of something. You know, 35,000 people lose over when they sit. And on when on the other side,
from different pages of the paper.
Right. And so then the other. Right. And on the other thing, what he'll do is he'll say X percent, 42% say this. Well, either you
that
stick
was the Pepsi Coke challenge, and then he's using that as far as something else.
Oh, it's just amazing. You should listen to it. I mean, you talk about it.
Oh, that's what they were doing last night on the Tom Brokaw global warming thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about global warming. God, I want to talk about that.
We're doomed.
But I love it. That was one of the things in Will's email. What does a state Iowa really mean?
Oh, yeah. What was it?
I own waterfront apartments.
Yeah, right. Iowa. I love that. I own waterfront apartments. Well, you know, I figured out that we ought to start buying land in.
Well, that sounds like a market solution.
It does. I mean, mountains of Kentucky or something. You know, it's going to be beachfront.
Heck yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. You know, and then all those new reefs.
Yeah.
They used to be called Wall Street. You know, the Miami.
We could have Beverly Hills treasure hunters.
That's it. Well, we could.
Yeah.
No, you think about going, you know, doing a little scuba dive down on used to be Miami Beach.
Right.
Yeah, the Hollywood Hills Islands.
Fort Knox divers.
That's right. That's right. Good out for some real gold.
Right.
That's good. All right. Well, we're going to run. Thank you all.
See ya.
Tell
your friends.
Tell your friends.